should be 1936. Still 36? Okay. I'm greatly surprised at how one can be so jealous. When I see someone else good, I rejoice at it as if it were mine. The joy of others is my joy, and the suffering of others is my suffering. For otherwise, I would not dare to commune with the Lord Jesus. If we follow Jesus, we should have the heart of Jesus. Jealous is because too much self-love more than others. You have to learn to love like Jesus. It's the way, to see how much we love Jesus. Many times we say we love Jesus very much, but we are envious of the others. That's already we cross. The spirit of Jesus is always simple, meek, sincere. All malice, envy, and unkindness disguised under a smile of goodwill are clever little devils. You smile to people as you love them, but you don't love them. You just criticize her at the back, and you smile to her. That's the joke. That's a little play of the little devils in you, in ourselves. A severe word flowing from sincere love does not wound the heart. If you have sincerity to say something right, say it. Maybe the person doesn't like that moment, but if it's out of love, it's always beneficial. Maybe the person will kick you out from his list forever. This is not our concern. Concern is to love that person as Jesus would. March 22nd, 1936. When I arrived at Warsaw, I went into the small chapel for a moment to thank the Lord for a safe journey. And I asked the Lord to give me the assistance and the grace necessary for everything that was in store for me here. So she will transfer to one convent to another. I submitted myself in all things to His holy will. I heard these words: fear nothing. All difficulties will serve for the fulfillment of my will. So there's always difficulties, but to serve His will. We can say that we pray and we are staying from all difficulties, all direct train. It's not yet. He will be on the train, but when not necessarily direct Him to different stations. He stayed with us. March 25th, in the morning, during meditation, God's presence enveloped me in a special way, as I saw the immeasurable greatness of God and at the same time His condescension to His creatures. Can't you imagine? No? God is so high, but then so deep in our flesh. Can't imagine. Then I saw the Mother of God, who said to me, "Oh, how pleasing to God is the soul that follows faithfully the inspirations of His grace. I gave the Savior to the world. As for you, you have to speak to the world about His great mercy and prepare the world for the second coming of Him who will come, but as a merciful Savior, but as a just judge." So the second coming is not that simple as in the crib, baby Jesus. That's why it's all these warnings of this century is let us know you have to prepare for the second coming he will come like a judge. Oh, how terrible is that day! Determined is the day of justice. No denial. The day of divine wrath. The angels tremble before it. Speak of souls about his great mercy while it is still the time for granting mercy. Still we have the time. If you keep silent now, you will be answering for a great number of souls on that terrible day. Because we are responsible for many people, no? If we just don't care. Fear nothing. Be faithful to the end. I sympathize with you. I think she suffered a lot. That's why I heard my mother say, I sympathize with you. When I arrived at Wanendo, one of the sisters gave me this welcome. Sister, now that you have come to us here, everything is going to be all right. I said to her, why do you say that, sister? She answered that she felt this in her soul. This particular person is full of simplicity and very pleasing to the heart of Jesus. The house really was in dire straits. I shall not mention all of that here. I mean, they in debt for many things financially. But this sister is very simple. That is telling her that although we have lack of money, you can still have a place to stay, food to eat, although they have lack of money. Oh, that sister is very simple. Telling her, maybe you know the other comments, they eat better, you know, things are better, but this comment is not that. So she consoled Sister Faustina, don't worry, everything is okay for you. Confession. As I was preparing for confession, I said to Jesus, hidden in the Blessed Sacrament, Jesus, I beg you to speak to me through the mouth of this priest, and this will be a sign to me because he does not know at all that you want me to establish that congregation of mercy. Let him say something to me about this mercy. Still in her mind, the new congregation. She will get some inspiration from the priest, the confessor. When I approached the confessional and started my confession, the priest interrupted me and started telling me about the great mercy of God, and he spoke more forcefully about it than I had ever heard anyone speak before. And he speak and asked me, do you know that the mercy of the Lord is greater than all his works? That it is the crown of his works? I think this priest never knew Faustina before. She has this inspiration. But that priest is new. He doesn't know her. First time before she say anything, it's confirming. And I listened attentively to these words which the Lord was speaking through the mouth of the priest. Although I believe that it's always God who speaks through the lips of the priest in the confessional, I experienced it in a special way on that occasion. Although I did not even reveal anything of the divine life, which is in my soul, and not accuse myself of my offenses, the priest himself told me very much of what was in my soul and put me under obligation to be faithful to the inspiration of God. He said to me, you are going through life with the Mother of God, who faithfully responded to every divine inspiration. Oh my Jesus, who can ever comprehend your goodness? That's a comment. Jesus, drive away from me the thoughts that are not in accord with you, with your will. I know that nothing now binds me to this earth but this work of mercy. Unique assignment to spread the good news of divine mercy, the love of God. First day, during the evening adoration, I saw Jesus scourged and tortured. He said to me, "My daughter, I decide that even in the smallest things, you rely on your confessor. Because be humble." Although Jesus is always talking to her directly, but she has to be obedient. It's not easier. You have a direct light from the Lord, and then you have to get a light from that priest. Maybe she doesn't like the priest, but that's, you know, Jesus giving us all this against our human nature. Your greatest sacrifices don't appease me if you practice them without the confessor's permission. On the other hand, the smallest sacrifice finds great value in my eyes if it is done with his permission. Although you do great things, if the permission confessor become little. But even a little small sacrifice with the permission become great. Obedience, humility. Now these two virtues is very important. Humility and simplicity. The greatest works are worthless in my eyes if they are done out of self-will. And often they are not in accord with my will and merit punishment rather than reward. Maybe so you do some very beautiful things, great things. If it's not the will of God, you might get your condemnation. You see, that is so important. The will of God. And on the other hand, even the smallest of the acts done with the confessor's permission is pleasing in my eyes and very dear to me. Hold firm to this always. Be constantly on the watch, for many souls will turn back from the gates of hell and worship my mercy. But fear nothing, as I am with you. Know that of yourself you can do nothing. Although she has this privilege to the visit of Jesus personally, she has to be very humble. On the first Friday of the month, before communion, I saw a large symposium filled with sacred hosts. A hand placed the symposium in front of me, and I took it in my hands. There were 1,000 living hosts inside. Then I heard a voice. These are hosts which have been received by the souls for whom you have obtained the grace of true conversion during this Lent. So whatever she did, great merit for the others. This was a week before Good Friday. I spent the day in the great interior recollection, emptying myself for the sake of souls. So at times we suffer something, put it into the intention for the souls in the purgatory. Something physically or psychologically, something that will offer it for souls in purgatory. Oh, what joy it is to empty myself for the sake of immortal souls. I know that the grain of wheat must be destroyed and ground between millstones in order to become food. So our life to be ground, so it to be, it's an offering. In the same way, I must become destroyed in order to be useful to the church and souls. Christ even though exteriorly no one will notice my sacrifice. You can imagine how much he suffered. Oh Jesus, outwardly I want to be hidden. Just like this little wafer, wherein the eye perceived nothing, just in the host. And yet I am a host consecrated to you. Nobody see anything special, like a host, but so special, because Jesus is there. Blessed Trinity is there. A Heavenly Mother is by the side. For sin of God is here. Where there is God, there is all the saints. So we have the special grace for us, since Faustina, to have this kind of humility, and you know, only for him. Palm Sunday. This Sunday, I experienced in a special way the sentiments of the most sweet heart of Jesus. The feeling, eh? You have to learn what kind of feeling of Jesus. My spirit was there where Jesus was. I saw Jesus riding on a donkey's foal, and the disciples and a great multitude with branches in their hands joyfully accompanying the Lord Jesus. Some stood them before his feet where he was riding, while others raised their branches in the air, leaping and jumping before the Lord and not knowing what to do for joy. So joyful. The coming of Jesus. Jesus here. And I saw another crowd which came out to meet Jesus, likewise with joyful faces and with branches in their hands. And they were crying out ceasingly with joy. There were little children there also. But Jesus was very grave. And the Lord gave me to know how much he was suffering at the time. At that moment, I saw nothing but only Jesus, whose heart was saturated with ingratitude. Only small, partial people were greeting him. The majority, they hate him. Away from him, that's hurt his heart. He feels sad. And that's the sentiment of Jesus. Love for all. Even people from the other side of the world. Have mercy on people. When you heard bad news from Middle East, from East Africa, West Africa, from Taiwan or the typhoon from the Philippines, have kind of sentiment like Jesus. Quarterly confession. Father Bukowski, when some inner voice urged me again not to put off this matter, I was unable to find peace. I told the confessor, Father Bukowski, that I could not wait any longer. Father answered me, Sister, this is an illusion. A dream to build a new congregation. And this priest say, this is an illusion. Something in the air. The Lord Jesus cannot be demanding this. You have made your perpetual vows. All this is an illusion. You already belong to this congregation. You are inventing some sort of heresy. Confessor. And he was shouting at me, almost at the top of his voice. I asked him whether all of this was an illusion, and he said, everything. Then please tell me what course I must take. Well, sister, you must not follow any inspiration. You should get your mind off all this. You should pay low attention to what you hear in your soul and try to carry out your exterior duties well. Give no thought to these things and put them completely out of your mind. I answered, good. Up to now, I've been following my conscience. But now that you direct me, Father, to pay no heed to my interior, I will cease to do so. Then he said, if the Lord Jesus tells you something again, please let me know. But you must take no action. Second thought, the priest. He cannot deny everything. The second thought, if just give me the same. I do not know why Father was being so severe. When I left the confessional, a multitude of thoughts oppressed my soul. Why be sincere? What I have told is no sin. I have no duty to tell it all, tell it to the confessor. That's her dream. Oh no, the dream is inspiration. He complained to herself. If I didn't tell him anything, he won't scold me. What I have told is no sin. So I have no duty to tell it to the confessor. And again, what a relief that I do not have to heat my interior anymore, as long as things are all right on the outside. I don't have to pay attention to anything or to follow the inner voices that have often caused me so much humiliation. From now on, I will be free. And again, a strange pain seized my soul. Then, can I not then commune with the one whom I desire so greatly? The one who is the whole strength of my soul? I began to cry out, to whom shall I go, O Jesus? She came to him, and Jesus asked him to listen to the confessor. The confessor telling her the otherwise. She's lost, completely lost, would have to go. Mama, you can imagine that. A simple soul. Listen and not listen. But from the moment of the confessor's prohibition, great darkness fell upon my soul. I feared lest I hear some inner voice which would occasion the breaking of my confessor's prohibition. And then again, I die of longing for God. My interior is torn asunder, not having any will of his own, since he has been turned over completely to God. This is a turning point of her life. What to do? This was on Wednesday of Holy Week. The suffering intensified on Holy Thursday. When it came to make my meditation, I entered into a kind of agony. I did not feel the presence of God, but all the justice of God weighed heavily upon me. I saw myself as if locked down for the sins of the world. Satan began to mock me. See, now you will no longer strive to win souls. Look how you have been paid. Nobody will believe you that Jesus demands this. See how much you are suffering now and how much more you are going to suffer. After all, the confessor has now released you from all these things. The son of the devil, temptations. Now I can live as I like, as long as things are all right outwardly. These dreadful thoughts tormented me throughout the whole hour. Going nowhere. When it was almost time for Holy Mass, my heart was seized with pain. Am I then to leave the congregation? Still struggling. And since Father has told me that this is a kind of heresy. Am I to fall away from the church? I cried out to the Lord with sorrowful interior cry. Jesus, save me. Still, not a single ray of light entered my soul, and I felt my strength failing, as if the body were separating itself from the soul. I submitted to the will of God and repeated, O God, let whatever you have decided upon happen to me. Nothing in me is any longer my own. Then suddenly God's presence enveloped me and penetrated me through and through. You should give up whatever your will be done. She recover her strength. Whatever. Because she, when the confessor says this, she is still attached to her desire, no? So, and she there, she won't, it's a confusion. She dare not live it. This was just as I was receiving Holy Communion. A moment after communion, I lost all awareness of everything around me and of my whereabouts in ecstasy. Then I saw the Lord Jesus as he is represented in the image, and he said to me, tell the confessor that this work is mine, Jesus, and that I am using you, Faustina, as a lowly instrument. Tell the confessor, Faustina is my instrument. Jesus is the boss. But then you, well, it's not condemning, but just tell a message, no, for the confessor. And I said, Jesus, I can no longer do anything you command me to do, because my confessor has told me that all this is an illusion, and that I am not allowed to obey any of your commands. Simple heart, eh? Jesus told him, and said to him, I'm not supposed to listen to you, eh? Because Jesus asked him to obey the confessor. What I can do to master? I will do nothing that you will tell me to do now. I'm sorry, my Lord, but I'm not allowed to do anything, and I must obey my confessor. He's fighting, eh? Verbal. I can do. I'm listening. Jesus, I must earnestly ask your pardon. To be sorry. So strong against Jesus. You know how much I suffer because of this, but I can't be helped. Jesus, the confessors have forbidden me to follow your orders. Jesus listened to my arguments and complaints with kindness and satisfaction. I thought the Lord Jesus would be grievously offended, but on the contrary, he was pleased and said to me kindly, always tell your confessor about everything I say to you and command you to do, and do only that for which you obtained permission. Still give back the permission to the priest. Jesus, don't worry, still listen. Do not be upset and fear nothing. I am with you. Even Jesus with you. Sometimes you feel on a dilemma. Sometimes he gives you no nights or this or that, you know. But still Jesus, listen. Be humble. So train for sinner to be humble. My soul was filled with joy, and all those oppressive thoughts vanished. Solitude and courage entered my soul. Beautiful. It happens to us all many times. We want to do this and do that and that. And Jesus, if he's so right, and today one of the best meditation, right? On the interior